Welcome to the Meal Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nixon. This is the 39th episode in the Co-Pilot series where we can chat about making the plant-based lifestyle more doable, especially while facing the common challenges and roadblocks we all face on our journey to better health and weight loss. I'm really excited for today's guest. This is her second time. She was with us for the 10th episode, and she talked about how she cured all of these sinus problems she was having and chronic constipation with a plant-based diet and the meal plans. But today we're talking about something that we all struggle with, which is traveling and still making good choices, as well as coming out to your friends and family about the way you're eating and how your lifestyle has changed. And then a really fun topic, we're going to talk about shopping and buying new clothes and how to deal with all of that. So before I just give away everything that's going to happen in today's episode, welcome back, Katie.
Hey, Lindsay. Glad to be back.
Yes, I'm really excited. And if you haven't heard Katie's other episode, you definitely need to check it out. It's number 10. So I'm really... When you emailed me and said you wanted to come back, I was thrilled because I loved having you on the first time. But then when you told me you wanted to talk about traveling because you were getting ready to go on a trip, I was like, yes, because I know this is something everyone struggles with, not only making good choices, but not wanting to be like the bummer in the crowd, or like maybe they haven't told their friends or family yet. And now it's coming out. So maybe you can just sort of give us some backdrop about your old travels and maybe your new travels. And we'll just dive in from there.
Yeah. So when I was dating my now husband, we went to visit his family, I felt like such a bother just by being dairy free. Mm-hmm. 'Cause at that time I was just no dairy and no red meat. And then I added vegan on top of that. And then, so I didn't want to be a bother again and add oil free. So, my family knew that I, you know, played around with oil free, but they didn't ever know that I was at home, I was oil free. And you know, whole foods, plant-based. 'Cause when I would be there, I would let them, you know, put the Daiya cheese mm-hmm. In the lasagna that they made for me, and just was appreciative that they were just making vegan food for me. Mm-hmm. And I would feel awful on these trips. Like bathroom situation mm-hmm. is always up in the air. And it's like on these trips, I would just have horrible constipation and horrible heartburn. I used to have to keep like the little rolls of Tums in my purse.
Gosh,
and
yeah.
I had to travel with the like jumbo size Tums. and it was like, the heartburn and everything that oil would do to me, I would just put up with it. 'Cause I would, you know, tell myself, oh, I'm on vacation. Mm-hmm. I'm allowed to do whatever I want. But, I finally decided that it wasn't what I wanted anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to feel bad on my vacation.
Exactly.
So,
and also when you're vacationing and you're, as you were saying, you were having all these bathroom situations, that's like the worst time to have bathroom. One, because it's ruining your vacation. But two, you're often in a strange place, so you don't even know where the bathrooms are.
Yeah. Or you're at someone else's house mm-hmm. and you don't want to.
Yeah. You don't want to do that at someone else's house. Or even in a public restroom, like, you know, at a restaurant, you're like, oh God.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we were going to a graduation with my, a college graduation, with my sister-in-law. And so it was going to be my mother-in-law and all my sisters-in-law. My husband has three sisters. So we were getting a vacation rental and I decided I'm going to be oil-free on this trip. 'Cause I don't want to feel bad for a week just mm-hmm. for three days of food. So we were in a vacation rental, so we went out shopping the first night to a Whole Foods that was really close by. So I was able to buy some of the Engine 2 products, like the frozen, like, what's it called? The veggie burgers. So it would just be like a quick meal. And then I brought a bunch of potatoes in my...
Awesome.
In my, yeah, it's like I find potatoes travel really well. They're like... Like if don't cook them beforehand, just like raw potatoes in your suitcase, they like, they don't get bruised. And like you just pop them in a microwave wherever you are and, you know, stab them a couple times and you got a meal.
Yep.
So, came out to my mother-in-law 'cause I knew she would be doing the food. And, I sent her an email and was kind of like, this is what I'm doing. You don't have to worry about food for me. I just wanted to let you know so that you don't offer me something that I have to refuse, basically, in front of everybody. So, and we actually had an interesting little exchange where she asked, like, oh, but my hummus recipe only has, you know, a quarter cup of hummus and or a quarter cup of oil in the whole recipe. Is that okay? And I was like, oh my gosh, that's like 400 calories. No. And I was like, oh, baby, you know, I'm doing no added oil at all. So no, I probably wouldn't need that hummus. But maybe you could try replacing that with the liquid from the can of the chickpea or, mm-hmm. you know, just trying to, you know, keep my mouth shut about how unhealthy it is. Cause I know people don't like to talk about it. They don't like to think that what they're doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just trying to stay positive and give her alternates. And my family was great. They made, for the big party, they made this really, really great basil dip and had lots of fresh veggies. And because I had bought some stuff, some little crackers and things that I could dip in what I knew was oil-free, I did really well. And mm-hmm. it was my first, I was really proud of myself. This is my first time ordering something because I usually just order something that's easily oil-free, like a salad with no dressing.
Yeah.
But we went out and I ordered the veggie burger and I asked them to cook it without oil. And that was my first time asking someone that and in a restaurant. And it was like, she was like, oh yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. You were like all nervous and worried and like, oh God, yeah. oh God. And they were like, no problem. And you're like, wow. Okay. I should have done that a million times sooner.
I know. So yeah, it's like, I couldn't believe it. I put it off for so long.
Yeah. The same thing happened to me. I've been going to this Asian restaurant forever and finally I got the courage to be like, can you make it without oil? And they're like, oh, sure, of course. And it like, it wasn't even an issue. It was like, is the sky blue? And I was like, yeah. I can't believe I sat here and like was so freaking scared to ask.
Yeah. yeah.
And it didn't matter at all.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And so since then I've done it a bunch of times and they're all like, oh yeah, no problem. I had the best breakfast potatoes that they basically, I don't even know how they prepare them, maybe steamed or, but it was just basically the same cut up little red potatoes and they put all these spices on them because they felt like I was somehow missing out because it wasn't cooked in oil. Mm-hmm. But they I think they had like Old Bay seasoning on them.
Oh, that sounds like, so good.
Oh, it was delicious. And I was sitting here with my big plate of fruit and my little plain potatoes, like going crazy. And all my friends at brunch were like eating these big mounds of fried, buttery, cheesy food. And I think I was having the best meal out of all of them.
Yeah, it sounds like yours was really good, especially because I love Old Bay seasoning.
Yeah, me too.
So there were two. Oh, go ahead.
So that was my first trip that I, you know, came out. And then I had another trip pretty soon after where I came out to a different part of my family. And it was some of my aunts in Northern California. We were going up there for my grandmother's 99th birthday party.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And my grandma's really funny about me being vegan. She says, I don't know if I can cook for a vegan. And I'm like, Grandma, it's okay. You're not that good at cook anyway. But she makes this lentil soup that's just naturally vegan. So I always tell her, no, Grandma, you know, you got your lentil soup and I didn't come here for the food. Mm-hmm. You know, I came here to see you.
Exactly. So. I love that point. It's like, you didn't go for the food. You went to see your 99-year-old grandmother.
Yeah. I'm like, you're the main event, Grandma.
Yeah. You and your birthday, not whatever food someone provides me. If there's no food here, I want to still come see you, Grandma.
Yeah. Yeah. So for that trip, my two of my aunts, I was staying with one, and then the other one was catering the birthday party. And they both did great. I kind of had this like email template that I think I found someone had posted on the Facebook group. I'll need to look for it again. But it was great. It was like, I just wanted to let you know I'm eating like this. And that means blah, 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 you know, like steamed veggies and baked things and no oil. And just want to let you know, you don't have to worry about food for me, but if you do want to cook, here are some resources. So, one of my aunts actually made the very first recipe that's listed on Happy Herbivore's page.
Oh, that's awesome.
I thought it was funny that it was the first one because I was like, oh, she didn't dig very deep before she found one that she liked. So it was like an African something. I don't know how to say the second word. But it was a rice dish and she made just a big salad in this rice dish and have
the African holof. Yeah, that is a funny. It's J-O-L-L-O-F, but yeah, it's a weird word. But it's good and it's really easy to make. You can make it so easy.
Yeah, and she's a great cook. She did some subs for what she had in the garden, and yeah, it was awesome. And then my other aunt, I found out when I sent her this similar email. She said, "Oh, I had my gallbladder out in the 70s, so I always don't cook with oil." And I was like, oh, that's easy.
Yeah, you're like, cool.
The party had like a sandwich bar and it had lots of fresh veggies and fancy mustards. And
See, you're talking my language with the mustard.
Yeah. Oh, that like chunky deli mustard is so good.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. Yeah. So those two, that trip went off without a hitch.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes we get ourselves worked up in like the worst case scenario and it's that doesn't happen, which is great. But it's like we always think it's going to be so much harder or scarier or worse than it actually ever is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And even, you know, even if they hadn't provided food for me, I had brought, you know, I drove up there. So I had a cooler with potatoes, of course, and some just snacky things. I made a big batch of the chickpea tenders and I find those actually, they freeze really well. So I keep some in the freezer just for emergency sandwiches. Mm. So, and like pita and hummus and stuff. So I had things in the car if they hadn't provided for me, but they did and they knocked it out of the park. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. And on that trip, my uncle, I hadn't seen him for about 2 years. And he actually, one of the first things he said to me was, "You look great. You look like you have so much energy."
Aww.
And I was like, I'm glad because I do feel like I have energy. I didn't realize. He said, "Yeah, I thought you were going to fall asleep before. Just standing." I was like, that's kind of backhanded compliment, but I'll take it. Yeah.
And that was one of the things I remember when I had asked you to be a Herbie of the Week, you said that you would do it, but that you were like sort of an accidental Herbie of the Week because you had no idea how unhealthy you were before until you started doing the meal plans.
Yeah. You know, a half hour ago, 45 minutes ago, I had a conversation with someone in the break room at work and she said, "You look like you've lost weight." And she said, "Are you trying to do that?" And I was like, "Well, I wasn't really trying, but it just kind of happened because of these meal plans." And my mom, she has always had this fear that, you know, having two daughters, she's had this fear that we're going to have eating disorders or problems, bad relationship with food. So she's worried about how much weight I'm losing. And I'm like, "Mom, I'm not trying to do this. This is just my body being its natural shape finally."
Yeah.
So I'm working on her. I think she understands that I am eating a lot of food.
Yeah.
Just the right food.
And I think that's actually, and it's something I know that comes up a lot in our Facebook group and in our forums. And I hear it all the time, even with my own mom, is like, "Oh, you're so thin, you're so thin." And I think, and this came up on a couple of podcasts too, is that what we are seeing now is because over half of the population now is overweight or obese, that we're starting to lose sight of what thinness actually is. And there is too thin, absolutely. But there's also people who aren't too thin, but then they look small because everyone around them is so overweight. And the concern is always from a place of genuine, like, "Oh, I love you, so I'm worried." But I find the more weight you lose, people start to comment on it.
Right. Yeah. And I noticed that actually when I was shopping with my mother-in-law and sister-in-law, they didn't carry a size that was small. Like the smallest size mm-hmm. they carried was a 6. And I was looking for a 4. And they didn't carry any sizes under 6. And I was just saw that as a, you know, an example of how big we're getting as a country.
Oh, yeah. And I definitely have some good things to talk about that when we get to that point yeah. in a little bit. But I wanted to dial back because you made so many great points when you were talking about your vacation and traveling. And the first thing that really stuck out to me that you said is you didn't want to be a bother. And I hear that all the time from people. Oh, I don't want to be a bother. I don't want to put someone out. And I love that the way you approached that was you emailed them ahead, which I always tell people, always communicate ahead. I have had really bad experiences not doing that where hosts cried. But you said, listen, you know, don't worry about me. I don't want to be a bother. Don't worry about me. I'll take care of myself. But if you want to, here's some ways you can help me out. And you gave them some ideas. And I love that. But, yeah. But I think that is something that a lot of people struggle with. They don't want to be a bother. And so they end up doing something they don't want to do to go along. And then they feel bad about it. What advice would you have for people that feel that way, that don't want to be a bother to their family or their friends?
I would say just to actually get yourself in a mindset where you're not a bother. Like you mm-hmm. have your situation under control. You have a potato in your purse or whatever, you know, you've eaten before you went. You literally don't need anything from anyone else. Mm-hmm. And if they want to give you something, then that's on them. Like you aren't a bother. Like you don't need them to feed you. You don't, you know, just kind of take mm-hmm. ownership of your situation and be like, I don't want to be a bother, so I'm not going to depend on anybody else but myself. Like,
I love that.
Control.
Take control, yeah. And like you said, you had potatoes in your purse, you had chickpea tenders in your purse, so you were prepared.
Yeah, but I didn't need them. So it's like we give people the opportunity to exceed our expectations.
Oh, I love that.
But
love
that. We set our expectations really low. So,
so it's always a win.
Win-win. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's something that I've dealt with my family is a lot of times that they'll be really excited and happy that they found like some vegan thing for me and they want to give it to me. And, you know, they're so excited and it's so cute. And then it's like, like you said, it's like the day of cheese or it's all these things. And I'm like, oh man. And it looks really good, but I'm like, oh, my stomach's going to hurt so bad mm-hmm. if I eat that.
Yeah. And I find that sharing that with them, like I don't open with, if I eat that, I'm going to be constipated for 5
right.
days.
Mm-hmm.
But if they push, I'm say, I'm sorry, it really upsets my stomach. And they don't want you to feel physically bad. So, you know, like feeling emotionally bad, they seem to be completely okay with. It's like, I'm on a diet, so I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And they push it on you or whatever.
They push it, yeah, the peer pressure.
But if you say, no, it really makes me feel physically ill. They're like, oh, okay, well, I don't want to make you sick.
Yeah, that's true. That's a really good point. And I've definitely seen that, especially with friends. Like, they'll peer pressure me if I'm like, oh, I'm watching what I eat. I'm trying to lose weight. I'm on a diet. They'll really come at me hard with the peer pressure to eat or drink something. But if I say, oh, that gives me a migraine or, oh, that makes me bloated or, oh, that really hurts my stomach, magically it does not. I don't get the peer pressure.
Right, yeah. And even, you know, what I discovered when I discovered my dairy allergy is people are really responsive to that. They're really mm-hmm. okay with not giving you something because they don't want you to have a reaction to it. So even if you don't have that allergy, I would say lie.
Yeah.
They don't know. And it's like, even if you don't have a violent reaction to oil, but you really don't want to eat it, like that's not wanting to do something is a good enough reason not to do it, but sometimes people need more.
Mm-hmm. And I'll do that at restaurants all the time just to like really kind of be like, no, I have a dairy allergy. And because I think you're right that people really respond to allergies. I know with Carly, when she works for Meal Mentor, she is like you, actually bona fide allergic to dairy. At first, she was just avoiding dairy because she wasn't really sure about the allergy. And people were not, I mean, they were kind of helping her out, but they weren't really receptive and catering to her. But once she was diagnosed, like, this is an allergy, you will get very sick from it. The world like changed. Everyone wanted to accommodate her allergy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it becomes a really easy, like if someone's coming around the office and they have a box of donuts, it's a really easy excuse and they do not push it. If you say, no, sorry, I have some food allergies, I can't eat that.
And I feel like because there are so many people now with food allergies and because it gets so much attention in the media, it's not even a weird foreign thing. Like people know that other people have allergies. Oh, okay. That sucks for you. And they move on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to tell you, I had one more trip that I wanted to tell you about. Oh, I went to Montana to visit my sister-in-law, and this is a it's maybe not that tiny. It's Missoula, Montana, and it's a cool university town, but they love like bison and barbecue and meaty meat up there. So I was really surprised when I got this beautiful, it was called a healthy bowl, which I thought was a funny name on their menu, healthy bowl. And it was just this beautiful salad with black beans and just tons of different vegetables on it. So, and my lesson learned from that trip was I offered to cook for the group for one night that we were there, and it ended up being the last night that we were there. So if I were to do it again, I would insist that it were an earlier night so that I could eat the leftovers.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because there were a lot of leftovers from the night that I cooked, mm-hmm. and then we were leaving the next day, so I didn't get to eat them.
Oh.
Yeah, that's my lesson learned. I feel like every time I go on a trip or am just out of my routine in any way, I learn a lesson. So I like kind of look at it as more a learning opportunity rather than an impossible challenge.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so true. It is a constant. You always learn. I've, been Whole Foods plant-based for almost a decade now, and I'm still learning every day. And every time I travel, especially, I learn a whole lot.
Yeah.
But, so one thing, and you mentioned it, was I was going to ask you where you went. And I know, I think it was, you said Salt Lake City and Montana. So these are not, it's not like San Francisco, or Portland, Oregon, these places that are really known for being, these vegan-friendly, plant-based towns. You kind of went, and I've actually found a lot of times, like Wyoming was like exceptionally wonderful in terms of plant-based fare. And I really thought I was going to just be eating potatoes.
Yeah. And I'm actually really excited. I'm helping my sister move from Virginia to Texas next month. So I'm actually like, it's going to be such a fun challenge to find something to eat at like in Tennessee and
you're
Arkansas.
Driving across the country together.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited for the challenge. It'll be fun. New part of the country.
Yeah. And I remember, and this was one of the things I wanted to talk about today, was not using food to measure your involvement in an activity, not using food to measure enjoyment. Like you were saying earlier, you were there to see grandma. It was mm-hmm. all about grandma and her 99th birthday, which is unbelievable and incredible. It had nothing to do with what you were going to eat that day. And for the rest of your life, you're going to remember your grandmother's 99th birthday, but you're not going to remember what you ate that day.
Right. Yeah.
And so, and exactly. I remember we were talking about this in I don't remember if it was the forums or the Facebook group, but you brought up this trip with your sister that you were driving across the country and you're like, I don't even care if all I eat is rice cakes. I'm just excited to spend all this time with my sister to drive across mm-hmm. the country I live in and see all these different places and help her move and be part of her life. And you're like, I really don't care anything about what I eat. It's so many other things.
Yeah, it's I had emailed my sister, I checked out the route and here's some places that look like they're going to be vegetarian friendly. But I want to let you know that I'm totally fine with just picking up some, PB&J fixins. And I said, I'm not going on this trip to be wowed by the cuisine of Central Tennessee.
Yeah, right. But,
and like, I'm going to be with you and to help you and to have an adventure. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's, I think making, and you know, to get away from identifying, I think you mentioned this, like identifying our culture by our food. Mm-hmm. It's like, I still feel like I'm going to be able to experience Tennessee, even if I don't eat barbecue.
Yes.
Or like mm-hmm. don't eat steak or whatever they eat out there. Sorry, any Tennessee people who are listening. I don't know what you eat.
Yeah, no, it's true. I wish Carly was with me today in the office because that's where her family's from. So she could actually answer that. But yeah, no. And that's one thing I hear all the time where all the places I've been to, whether it's, you know, Asia or Europe, people are always like, oh, but you're vegan, so you're missing out. And I'm like, is that how we want to measure a culture or a people's? Not by like right. their music or their museums or their architecture or their social norms, like the French that kiss on the cheek. I'm like, really? Like, it's, I don't want to.
Just food.
Yeah, I really hope that people don't look at America and think all we are is McDonald's cheeseburgers.
Yeah, well, I'm getting worried because I'm seeing all these news stories about, you know, the presidential hopefuls are going to this state fair or that state fair.
And it's like deep fried Oreos,
Yeah, I'm like, is that all that this state has to offer is like deep fried butter? Like, I would be proud of, you know, something else.
Yeah, it's like in California where, you know, we both live, there's so many amazing things about California that has nothing to do with the food here.
Right.
I mean, there is some great food in California, and in Southern California specifically has very distinct cuisines, and Northern California is very known for like sort of its coffee and tea sort of societal mm-hmm. things or burritos. But like, but there's like, I'm like, there's seals and there's the Navy that's here, and the landscape of California goes from like beach to mountains to desert. It's just, there's so much more to California than food.
Yeah.
And totally. I feel it's true of any state. Every state has beautiful parks and scenery and music. Like Nashville's in Tennessee, you know? I mean, that's a whole culture that's amazing.
That has nothing to do
nothing
with food.
To do with food. Nothing. So I guess also skipping back before we talk about clothes, one thing is you mentioned you did a vacation rental, and that's something I always encourage. They're so much cheaper a lot of the times. It's really nice because you're in a house, but you have a kitchen. So you mm-hmm. can, even if you don't want to cook every day on your vacation, and I certainly don't, as you mentioned, you were able to grab some like Whole Foods engine two things to bide you over. But I love the idea of having that vacation rental, cooking with your family, telling them how they can adapt things like you did with your family, or as you suggested, offering to be the person who makes the food and just making sure there's enough for you to have leftovers.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, you just reminded me of another little travel tip. I forget where I got it, but when you go to a hotel, you can request that a microfridge be in your room because some people have medication that needs to be refrigerated. So you can call ahead. And I did this because my company put us up in a really fancy, schmancy hotel that didn't have a microfridge. And I requested one for my food, but I didn't tell them. I just said, I need a microfridge in my room, and they didn't ask any questions. They just assume, you know, it's for insulin or whatever. So yeah, even just having a microfridge, you're able to, you know, get the shelf stable, rice or quinoa, and just bring a Tupperware with you, and you can put some really great stuff together.
Yes, absolutely.
With just a microfridge.
Yeah, and there's actually, for all members, there is a travel ebook with a bunch of meal plan recipes that are really easy that you could make in a hotel room, which is great. And another thing, if you're not traveling by airplane, if you're traveling by car, you can take your pressure cooker. And actually, that's what I do when I'm not by plane. And on the saute setting, you can use it as a stove and you can just, you know, heat stuff up or make rice or greens or squash, you know, just keep it simple mm-hmm. if you have to. Or potatoes, as you and I do a lot of.
Yeah, and that's something someone mentioned today on the Facebook group is how a simple meal is satisfying. You know, just mm-hmm. a potato and some black beans and salsa is a meal.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. I was just traveling recently and I stopped at Wendy's and I got two potatoes. And then right across the street from the Wendy's was a gas station and I needed gas anyway. And I walked into the gas station and they had salsa, and the salsa didn't even have sugar, salt, or oil in it. It was just nice. The basic salsa ingredients. And I was like, hell yeah. And it was like such a yummy, good meal. And I could have had a can of beans in the car. I didn't that time, but that would have been even better, or even a can of corn. But it was just fine to have the two nicely, freshly baked potatoes with some cool salsa over it.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a similar situation when we were, my husband and I were driving across country moving here. There was a Wendy's next door to like a Subway, and I got a salad from Subway and a potato from Wendy's. And it actually, it was so much, it made two meals. So,
yeah.
And Subway had these little individual portions of salsa.
What? I haven't seen that.
It was like out with the chips. Like they had tortilla chips and salsa. And I had never seen that before either, but I got one and it was awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I love Subway because I can always get, yes, like you said, a salad there. And they're really usually pretty generous. And it's really cheap, too, because like when I did the two potatoes, they were $2.19 with tax for the two potatoes. And I think my salsa, which lasted me for three meals because it was a whole jar, wasn't even $3. And I'm like, I'm spending less than my friends that are at McDonald's right now.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
All right. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say traveling. Yeah, if you don't think of it as such a, you know, there's Subway everywhere. Mm-hmm. There's going to be something. Don't be worried. You can do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Before we move into fashion, you had mentioned, I remember one of the groups that you were going to suggest a steakhouse to your family. Did you do that? And why were you suggesting the steakhouse?
I was going back to my college town for a reunion. And you know, I actually, yeah, that was the first people I came out to was my college girlfriends. And, I was, you know, kind of looking at all the restaurants that I knew from going to college there, but I was looking at them through a different lens, you know, with a Whole Foods plant-based lens. And I was noticing like the steakhouse has a baked potato and a baked sweet potato and all these steamed veggies. And I was like, I want to go there. I don't want to try to make it work at one of these like Italian restaurants or American restaurants. I want to go to the steakhouse. But they all know I'm vegan. So I was like, that would be a little shocking for them to hear. Yeah. And actually on that trip I had my friend ordered Chinese food, and you can always get just steamed veggies, or take one of the veggie dishes and just ask for it steamed with the sauce on the side. Mm-hmm. And just, I end up throwing away the sauce or giving it to someone else. And steamed rice, and it's a great meal. I love it. And the like Chinese mustard, it's so good.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But we all know how much I love mustard.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, and I loved when you were talking about mustard before the sandwich bar. I was thinking that's a really good idea, too, if you are with your family and you need some kind of, like, make your own sandwiches. It's a really good way to please everyone.
Yeah.
And really easy.
They can bring some of the sliced cheese and meat if they want it, and you just have a bounty of vegetables, and everybody's happy.
Yeah, I love, I'm all down with, like, lettuce, tomato, onion, mustard, and some bread. Like, that works for me.
Yeah, totally.
So shopping, which is something I've really been dying to talk about on this podcast, and so I was thrilled that you wanted to talk about it too, is a lot of people, there's a lot of things that go on. When you lose weight, you would inevitably need to buy new clothes. And of course, that costs money. So it's like, well, how do you do that? And when do you do it? And because for me, I still wore clothes even if they were a little too big or maybe not flatter on me. But eventually you get to a certain size where you're like, I really just got to buy some new clothes. And sometimes it's surprising what kind of sizes you need to get into. So maybe you can tell us your recent experience and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, basically this has been since December of last year, I started the meal plans, and I had just gone shopping at that point cause I was, you know, bigger than I wanted to be. And then, you know, just slowly up until now, I've been slowly losing weight. And what I've done is I've just gone and supplemented my wardrobe with stuff from the thrift store because I know that my body's still changing. And we're really lucky here in San Diego that our thrift stores are like overstocked. So you can get a lot of the Salvation Armies do like 50% off everything on Saturdays or one Saturday a month, stuff like that. So you can, you know, supplement your wardrobe as your size is changing for not that much money.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I hit that point that you were talking about where I was wearing these clothes that were baggy, but I was getting to the point where I was starting to, you know, not really feel cute in them anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like, this just looks sloppy. I don't feel professional and I'm running out of options. Like I only have 5 things that I can wear throughout the week, 5 outfits to put together. So, I did a big shopping trip and I went to a real store and, it was really the best shopping experience that I've had in like my entire adult life. And I hate shopping usually because I'm usually, you know, grabbing, you know, 15 different pairs of pants, trying to find one that fits over my hips. And like this time I was grabbing all these, I was a 6 before. And then, so I just grabbed a bunch of 4s and I grabbed like 1 size 2. And I thought, there's no way I'm wearing a size 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the pairs of pants, a size 2 fit me. And I was like, I have like, since I've been shopping in the women's section, like my entire adult life, I've never been a 2. And it's like, it's unreal. So it's like, grab sizes that you think you will never, ever fit into.
Mm-hmm.
And in dresses, same thing. Like I don't think I've ever worn an extra small, but it's like, especially in dresses, cause I've lost, you know, weight in my chest area.
Cause life is cruel.
Yes. Cause the universe
is mean.
Awful. But so yeah, I was grabbing extra smalls and it's just like, I never thought this would happen. That's why I still feel like I'm accidental Herbie, like accidentally lost all this weight.
Yeah.
Cause I wasn't, you know, wasn't trying to, but it felt so good to put something on and have it be too big.
Yes.
And it's like, it's a really, yeah, it was really cathartic and it made me want to keep shopping. And like, usually I do 1 big trip to the dressing rooms cause it's so awful and whatever I find, that's all I'm buying. Cause I'm not going back. But that first experience in the dressing room was so good. I went back out to the shelves and tried on other things that I thought might look good with my new shape. And it's like, it's, yeah, it was a great experience. And then I came home with all my new clothes and did a fashion show for my husband and kind of mixed old things with new things. And so he would be like, oh, those pants are too big for you. Get rid of them.
Ah!
And they were my old pants. And because I had gotten them from the thrift store, it was really easy to give them back to the thrift store. It was like, all right, they're gone. And he was really, really good and kind of brutally honest with me about some shirts that I had been holding on to. He said something like, that shirt looks like something someone wears when they are trying to hide their body.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
He's like, you don't need to hide your body. And it's like getting used to clothes, just fitting a little closer because I've been wearing loose clothes for months.
Yeah, that's a really great point. A lot of times, too, is when you're losing the weight, you're still wearing clothes that are too big. But then you get used to sort of wearing these like really flowy, baggy clothes. And so when you go and buy something that is your new size and it's more form-fitting or a little clingier, you can almost feel a little self-conscious because you're like, I've been swimming in clothes. Are you sure this isn't too tight?
Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I'm actually wearing some pants that make me feel that way right now. And I'm like, because they just feel like they're so close to my body. And mm-hmm. and my husband's like, no, look, like, feel around your leg. You still got a little extra room, you know, you're fine. Like, how you look to yourself and how you look to other people, I think, are different.
Yes, absolutely. Like,
we can be our harshest critics.
Yes, we're very critical of ourselves. And that's definitely something I've experienced too, especially in dressing rooms like you, is I would hate to go shopping because nothing ever fit. And I would always just not feel very pretty or sexy or whatever. And I would be really frustrated because, like, okay, the pants would be big enough for my thighs, but then they were too hangy in the bottom because I didn't have a booty, or mm-hmm. or then they would finally fit my hips and my legs, but then they would now be too short, like they wouldn't come down far enough, and I was mm-hmm. such a struggle. But then I lost weight and clothes were starting to fit better, but I would go in and I would buy I would just pick up the sizes that I would normally get, and then I'd get to the dressing room and they would all be too big, which was mm-hmm. you know, exciting. But then at the same time, when the sales girl would come and be like, is everything working out? And I'd have to be like, actually, can you bring me a smaller size? These are all too big. But I was really like, it wasn't even like a braggy thing. I was actually really kind of embarrassed or intimidated to ask mm-hmm. for a smaller size. And then when she would bring them, I would fear that they wouldn't fit and I would be like upset.
Yeah.
Like, it was the weirdest emotional experience.
I thought about it, and I thought that you know, that little number on the tag doesn't have as much power as mm-hmm. we give it. It's like, it's just a little number. Everybody makes their clothes, every company makes their clothes slightly differently. Mm-hmm. What's one size in one brand might not fit you in the other brand. And it's like, we just assign so much drama to this, mm-hmm. this tiny little number. And it's like, I mean, I admit it. It has the power over me. Like,
me too. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I can fit an extra small? Wow.
Yeah. And another thing I think about getting rid of, the final step of my shopping trip, really, the getting rid of the old stuff was really important, because now I don't have anything in those bigger sizes in my house anymore. So I know that I can't go back on this lifestyle. I can't gain the weight back.
Yeah, I really loved when you posted that picture of your closet and all of the clothes that you were taking to the Goodwill. And it reminded me of something that I am always telling other members, is when you do lose weight and you get to that size, get rid of those clothes.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to just like slip right back into them, and instead of keeping yourself honest, because if your pants are these new pants that you have, if they suddenly start feeling tight, you know you need to change something again.
Yeah, getting rid of, even, you know, if you have a smaller wardrobe for a little while, it's not that big a deal. You'll build mm-hmm. it up over time as you get more comfortable with your body, and it's, you know, it's a sacrifice that I think is necessary to get rid of those, because the temptation is gone. The temptation mm-hmm. to just put those bigger clothes on and fill them up is not there anymore.
Yeah. And they actually have been doing these really interesting studies about how many people go to prison and gain weight. And they're like, oh, it's because of the prison food, or oh, it's because they're eating from the vending machines. And they're actually finding it's not either of those two things. It's because prisoners are given these big, baggy, loose jumpsuits.
Yeah.
And so they have no idea that they're gaining weight, or it's just so easy for them to put it on because they're wearing these big baggy things.
Yeah, because they don't, it's kind of like an indicator, you know, your clothes mm-hmm. get tight, indicator you gotta shape it up.
Yeah, you're like, oh, like if I put my pants on and suddenly they aren't buttoning or they're really tight and uncomfortable, I'm like, ooh, you know, I really need to, like, something's been wrong. Either I've been eating too much or I've not been walking as much. I need to do something. I need to really pay better attention. It's a really nice check on myself. But if I'm wearing this big baggy jumpsuit, I never had that opportunity until, I don't know how big you'd have to get to fill out one of those, things. It's like, but that's what would happen, is these guys would leave and they couldn't fit into all their clothes that they had before they went in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I could see how that would work with anybody with any kind of clothing.
Yeah. Because, we need an alert of some sort that you're getting bigger.
And one thing, too, that you said, I so appreciate your honesty about how the size can really affect your self-esteem or self-worth. And that's happened to me, too. And I'm ashamed of that, but it's true. And I feel the more honest we are about it, the better it is that, you know, sizing can absolutely make you feel better. And because of that, a lot of stores, and particularly American brands, have started creating what they call vanity sizing. And we've seen a lot of this in the member forums and the member groups, where I told the story about how my sister found this dress that we used to fight over in high school. We both always wanted to wear this dress. We fought constantly. And it was from The Gap. And I want to say it was like a size 8. And my sister and I, you know, we can still wear it. It's a little bit big on us, but I went into The Gap recently and I was a 0 to a 2.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, how is that possible?
Yeah.
But the dress is almost 20 years old.
Yeah.
And I've really started to see that in a lot of other stores. Like when I am in Europe, the numbers are in the 20s, the 20s and the 30s. And I'm almost always the same number in these 20s. But when I come to America, I can be anywhere from like a 0 to an 8, depending on the store. Like you said, Every store is different. And sometimes I'll let it affect me. And I hate that it does. But I'm like, ooh, I'm in a 0. But then if I'm in a 6, I'm like, man.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's husband, so silly, because it's just like these stores are just crazy with their sizing.
Yeah. And I don't think men are immune to it either, because my husband, we had to buy him a different uniform he's in the Navy, and he just needed a different uniform than the one he usually wears. So we went to the store and he picked out the size, you know, that he buys in, you know, shorts. Mm-hmm. And they were so tight. And then, you know, I think that these military sizes were actually the true measurement. Because, you know, I think men's clothes, it's actually a measurement. Like the 30 whatever waist is an actual unit. Like how many inches or centimeters or whatever.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But so he had to go up like 10 sizes to get his actual to get him to fit. And he was feeling kind of defeated about it. And I was like, no, it's just, they're not the kind of pants you usually wear. It, you know, it doesn't mean, that number doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It's just what size these pants are.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because I think you're right. Because like my husband, when he buys pants that are like a 30 by a 30, whatever, which is the inches, like they're 30 inches long in the legs or something like that. Those are, he can buy those without even trying them on because they're the same. But when it's small, medium, or large, it's the same thing that we're going through. So for years and years and years, my husband was a large. And even though he did lose, well, he was an extra large for a while, but then he was a large for ever, even though he had lost weight, a large kind of fit him. Now he's a medium, and my husband is over 6 feet tall. Medium is not the word I would use to describe my husband, who's Scandinavian and 6 feet tall. Like medium, no. But now in these kind of American stores, like a Banana Republic, he's a medium. And I'm like, what? And this is the same thing is like, I'm starting to take, like you said, an extra small now. And I'm 5'8". Extra small is not the size I would think of for a woman who's 5'8".
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's going back to what we were saying earlier, is I think because our population is getting so large, like you couldn't even find a size at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they just didn't stock it.
They did.
It's crazy.
And like, so here in America, I'm often buying an extra small or a small, but when I'm shopping in Europe, I'm almost always a medium, which makes sense to me. I'm 5'8". I feel a medium. Yeah. I feel like I'm a medium sized woman. So it's very curious what's going on. And they've definitely been doing some studies that, like, I think today's size 10 was a 14, 10 years ago or something. And so I'm almost worried that we're not going to be able to buy clothes at all unless we go to the juniors department. But at 34 years old, I don't really want to shop in the kids section.
Yeah. I even considered that when I was on my shopping trip, but they just didn't have as many dresses, you know, living in San Diego. I don't really need a lot of pants, but I like wearing dresses to work. And I didn't have as many as I wanted in the women's section, because it's getting closer to fall. So I was like, do I go to the junior section? Yeah. I can't even remember a time that I shopped in the junior section.
Yeah, I know. Even when I was that age, I couldn't fit in those clothes. And yeah. I mean, these are obviously good problems to have. It's like, oh, boo-hoo, you're too thin, you can't buy clothes. But the reason why I think this is a problem other than the vanity issue is another member had said, for the past, I think she said 20 years, she always was buying a size 14. And so she never realized that she was gaining weight because she was always just the same size. But then she recently pulled all of the clothes out and saw that they were so shockingly different. And she was really upset by it. She's like, because had I ever had to have bought a bigger size, I would have known that I was slowly gaining weight and there was a problem. Instead, it just felt like it snuck up on me.
Yeah. I can see that.
And I was like, that's the good point. It's like, it's not just, oh, okay, well, oh, boo-hoo, poor us, we're too thin, we can't find, you know, the size. But no, it was such a good point. And I've seen that. Like, I had this woman tell me, for 25 years, I've been a size 10. I don't need to lose weight. But a size 10 now isn't the same as it was 20 years ago. And so it continues to give us these poor perceptions of our reality. And but I could see it. I could see how, as long as you're always buying the same size, you wouldn't think your body's changing. Because that's the thing. None of us just wake up the next day 30 pounds overweight. We don't wake up one morning overweight. It's this thing that slowly creeps up to the point where we don't even see it. And so that's a problem.
I had one more. I actually kind of wanted your advice on something. So with my getting rid of a bunch of clothes and trying everything on, I had some sentimental clothes like that don't fit. It was like I had bought this bridesmaid dress that my friend gave us the freedom. She said, as long as it's a black dress, just buy a black dress. And this black dress, I love this. It's got little pockets. It's so cute. And I tried it on and it doesn't fit anymore. And so I'm bummed, and it's totally, you know, 6 years old, out of style. I don't think it's out of style. I think it's classic, but they don't have it in stores anymore. And I just couldn't bring myself to get rid of it. And like my wedding dress and things like that. So like, I don't know if it's just always going to sit in my closet or if I can maybe give it to someone that I love. Not sure what to do with these dresses.
With fancy dresses like wedding dresses and things like that, you can, there are these charities that take the dresses and with like wedding dresses, they'll often dip them into a different color and then they give them to girls for proms who can't afford dresses. And for me, that's where my wedding dress went. And I can't think of any better way to honor my dress than to give it that second life of allowing a girl to feel as beautiful as I did in it.
Yeah.
But if it isn't a wedding dress, if it is a dress, you could always go to like a seamstress or a tailor and see if they can take it in. Not every dress can be, but a lot of times they can alter it so that it can still fit you and you can still, if it is something you really, really love and you want to still be able to wear.
Yeah.
That can be an option. But sometimes they can't do it. And then you have to ask yourself, do I just want to hold it? Is the memory of that day going to be gone if I don't have this dress? You know, it's things to think about. So,
Yeah, that's a good point. Because, okay, I didn't even think about it, Taylor. You know, these things you've never had to do. Because you've never had to buy smaller clothes before.
Yeah, there was this one dress and, you know, it's so funny. I loved it so much and I always felt so good when I wore it and it was just too big. There was just no getting around it. And I ended up taking it to like a seamstress or a tailor and they were able to take it in and it was like $80, which is I think more than I ever paid for the dress, but it ended up being worth it to me because I just really, really, really loved this dress and I still have it and I still wear it.
Yeah, that's like this one. I think the dress was up near $200. So I think it, you know, it's a high quality and I love it and it's got great memories. So I think I will take it to a tailor.
And see, absolutely, you would. Yeah, I think that's something we struggle with. And I have a lot of things like that that I really had fond memories and I really loved them, but I just can't wear it anymore. And one thing that no one told me about other than that, you know, when you lose weight, you lose it in your boobs, is that it ends up becoming even weird to buy underwear. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've had this yet, but I remember I was like, I have to go buy new bras because.
Yes. And bras. Oh, such a problem right now.
Yeah. And I was so upset because bras are so expensive.
Yes. Yeah. That's so frustrating. And you're like.
And then you also have to take your clothes off kind of so that they can measure you to make sure you get the right size. And of course you're like, why are you getting a new bra? And you're like, oh, I lost weight. And they're like, oh, good for you. And you're just like, I'm really uncomfortable. Can you just take my bra size and send me on my way?
Yeah. Can you just sell me some things so I can leave?
But like, even underwear
is
like,
so, so intimate to like, and it's, I've tried to explain my anxiety about bra shopping to my husband. It's like, I was already a small, weird size. Mm-hmm. So not everywhere carried it. And so I just found my size at Victoria's Secret and I just bought it every year. And they stopped carrying that size year. So that was drama. And then now I lost the weight and I have no idea what my size is. I wear a lot of sports bras these days.
That's pretty much me. I like only have sports bras now and I'm just like, this is sad. But because I feel like sports bras can kind of work with varying sizes and shapes and whether you gain or lose, they kind of still fit. So I'm just like, I just wear sports bras.
Yeah. Or bikini tops. I haven't tackled that challenge yet.
Yeah. I have a couple of, like, I got some bikini tops on sale that are not the triangles. They're like more bra-like top. And so I've been kind of wearing those because I feel like, well, they're adjustable because you can tie them.
Yeah.
So they kind of, so it's been, and if they hang out of my tank top, I don't feel so bad. It looks like it was intentional.
Yeah. It looks like you went to the beach.
It's like, I was totally intending this look, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. The intimates is definitely an issue. And even like bottom underwears, I had to go buy new ones because they were just like too baggy in the pants and they were constantly giving me a wedgie.
Yeah.
Probably TMI for the podcast if this happens. So
it's all right.
When you and I get together, we talk about poop.
All that stuff.
My husband's like, why do you have to talk to everybody about poop? I'm like, because no one ever wants to talk about it. Everyone wants to talk about it and they never do. That's the problem. So I'm like, let's just talk about it because I know you want to.
Yeah. I know.
On that note, it has been so awesome having you on the podcast again.
Yes, it's been great.
Thank you so much for coming on. And you gave so many great tips. And I'm really glad to know about the potatoes uncooked in the luggage because I'll often cook a bag and like carry it on the plane and everyone looks at me like I'm weird. But I'm like, whatever, you guys are going to eat gross food and I'm going to, because every time I see food on an airplane, I'm like, I'm so glad I'm not eating that. But
yeah.
But it's good to know that they even if they bump into each other, they don't brout. Because that's happened to me with like apples. I put them in and then they were all bruised.
Yeah.
So that's good to know about the potatoes.
Yeah, potatoes always in the bag. Always, if you're ever in doubt if you're going to be able to eat something somewhere, put a potato in your purse. I've got so many purse potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I take them all the time. Like the movie theater, it's hilarious. I'm in a hotel today and I have like 5 potatoes. I'm looking at them right now because I can just go downstairs and put them in the microwave if I need to. So.
Yeah. I did have one little last piece of advice for people. I just wanted to encourage people if they're not using the community in the forums or the Facebook group and all, that the fact that I've had a community is really the reason that this has been so effortless. Because it's like anytime I felt down or felt like I had had a weekend where I was totally off plan and I felt terrible, I could always turn to the community and they would, lift you back up.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I love
this. This is the best. And now I'm so happy that like I can be the one who's lifting people up and saying, you can do this. Just do one more thing. Do one thing better.
Mm-hmm.
Like pack yourself a little baggie of baby carrots for the next, like that's your one thing. You did something good. Like, and I think having been on the receiving end of all that positivity makes me want to be positive and encourage people. And it's just so great to have a community because I've been toying with Whole Foods plant-based for years. And it wasn't until I had someone to turn to when it wasn't going well that it really stuck. So I think take advantage of these wonderful people that are available.
Yeah. And the forums and the Facebook group, it's just, I love it too. And even though I'm supposed to be like the leader, I often go there to be the one who gets the support or the help or the suggestion. And that's one thing I've really liked with you is I can remember when you joined, and it has been so fun to watch you go from being the person that everyone was helping to getting your own right. And now you have become a source of being a mentor to many other new people. And it's been really beautiful to watch you kind of progress, and others who joined when you did and are now sort of becoming coaches to new people just starting and sharing your experience and your journey and helping them.
Yeah. I feel like it's really rewarding to be able to, you know, participate in this group of people who care about you. And yeah, like I genuinely feel like I care about all these people. I don't know them. I've only met one of them, I guess. Two. But I still feel like I'll talk about them to my husband, like, oh, my friend Gina posted this thing about carrot dogs and I'm going to try it or whatever. And it's like, these are my friends and I want to be there for them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It's wonderful. Well, thanks again, Katie. It's awesome. Hopefully you'll come on again another time when you have another great topic. These were great ideas, and I had so much fun talking about with them to you, and I hope everyone enjoyed listening. If you want to learn more about the meal plans that Katie and I used, you can visit getmealplans.com, and as she suggested, absolutely take advantage of the members-only private forums and the Facebook group if you're an annual, and make some friends, because there's so much goodness, so many great, wonderful, supportive, loving people there to help you. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye, Katie.
Bye.